18, beginning at verse 9, and let's stand in honor of God's word. Jesus sees a situation that's going on, and he speaks into it here with authority. Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 9. Open your heart to the word of the Lord. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. This is God's word. Please be seated. Well, so we see from this passage and from the words of Luke directly that some early followers of Jesus were overconfident in their own righteousness. What a thing to think about. The truth is that human beings fall short. And if these human beings are not self-aware, they make a lot more mistakes than they might have otherwise. Worst of all, humans may not realize that they need to turn to God and to address moral failures and begin to grow. Even back in Jesus' day, it made life miserable for those who were around these kinds of people. People who think they have it all together and who want to tell you what you need to do, but are full of spiritual pride, and it spills out onto everyone else around. He wasn't saying that all Pharisees were like this, and I think this is a mistake that we make when we read the New Testament because we don't really understand all that was going on. But the Pharisees were a group that Jesus did hold to a high standard. But I tell you what, if we think about what life was like in the ancient world, we might have cheered for the Pharisees on several accounts. First of all, they were the ones who said that all of God's word was important and should be listened to. And so they considered all of the books of the Old Testament, as we have it now, as authoritative and important. They also were seeking to continue to help the word of God be relevant to the times they were living in. Others, like the Sadducees, who only accepted the first five books of the Bible, they were tending to think, well, it's just about a few things that we do, and it doesn't really matter, and all this stuff that wasn't mentioned before doesn't matter as much. The Pharisees said, no, the issue is to follow God and love God with our whole hearts. And so they were part of the traditions that began to store up advice and counsel on how to live a holy life. And so they were supposed to be the humble ones, the ones seeking after God. And many of them were. Many of them were not wealthy people. Many of them were ones who were generous and gave a lot of what they had. And they were just very intense. And they were also the ones teaching classes, right? You could sign up on the internet. No, I'm just kidding. But you could sign up for one of their classes, and they would teach you things about the Word of God and things about how to be a holy Jew in everyday life. And so there were a lot of things about Pharisees that could be good. And we see that later in the life of the Apostle Paul, right? He was seeking with all of his heart to follow God, and in the end, that was useful to God. But like the Apostle Paul, the Pharisee that we're describing here in this chapter lost his way along the way. And so here we have a Pharisee who had his eyes fixed on all the wrong things. He had blinders on to his own sin, which can happen to anyone, but he was bug-eyed about the messy lives of others, right? He had quite a list. Robbers. Oh, and this tax collector who happens to be right here in front of me, who can probably hear what I'm saying out loud. But God knows about the Pharisee's sin. But the Pharisee's efforts to do better have changed how he evaluates the situation. Now he's keeping score. And maybe it started as a game of just trying to carefully keep score of how he was doing against a list of things that God had laid on his heart that needed to be different in his life. But along the way, in keeping score, once he began to do better in those areas, he's like someone getting the high score on a game on their PS4. And suddenly he starts to feel confident and starts talking trash to other people. Now he starts to think that what he's doing is a game, and he doesn't want to feel like a failure at it. So he keeps focusing on those things he's learned to do well. And he says, these are the things that make me different from everyone else. I remember to pray. I give to God. I worship regularly. I don't go around doing these terrible things to other people. So as he starts counting only the things that he does well, he starts overlooking his shortcomings. And now he's way off course, and he doesn't even realize it, to the extent that he can stand in God's presence and claim with pride to have a special standing and look down at others. But remember, as terrible as this is, we shouldn't be focused on, oh, that terrible Pharisee. Because remember, the reason Jesus told this story is because he was among regular folks who were thinking too highly of their own righteousness. So let that sink in for just a moment. Because you see, it's easy to get self-righteous. It's something that pulls us down and weighs us down, this problem of trying to overcome sin, but also this problem of pride. At certain moments in life, we may become painfully aware of how far we fall short. Maybe it affected a relationship. Maybe it affected a job. Maybe we just began to feel so defeated, or we found ourselves in the grips of addiction, not thinking we could ever get free. So in those moments, it's easy for us to see, oh, Lord, forgive me. And many times that's when we first come to God, is when we've become aware of the moral problem in our life, and we've come to God partially to try to resolve that. And maybe we're thinking about eternal punishment or something along that way. But we come to God to try to address our fears and concerns. But then we find some success. God forgives us. We're restored. We bring some new habits into our life. And suddenly the weight of those other problems seems to feel like it's in the rearview mirror, right? And we think, praise God, I'm not who I was. That is the moment when we have to be most careful. Amen? Because at other times, we may compare ourselves to others and start deciding that we come out on top. Instead of saying, you know what, that person reminds me a lot of me. Instead, we say, I'm better than that, and they should be too. Well, in the church environment, people tend to be nicer, and they cut you a break if you act this way. Maybe they shouldn't. Sometimes this hides terrible tendencies for years of people acting and living with prideful attitudes toward others, talking down, biting comments. We might start to think that we who go to church have it all together. We might start looking around at people and turning up our nose. We may notice only what's missing in their lives. Instead of having compassion for people that we see who are lost in brokenness, instead of having a heart toward them, because we admit at one time we had similar struggles, instead we miss the point and we pat ourselves on the back and we step away from the heart of God. But thankfully, God doesn't look at people this way, amen? Thankfully, God sees the heart and sees the potential in every one of us. And yes, he casts our sins in the sea of his forgetfulness so that he remembers them no more. But that's not so we can strut around as if we don't need to be humble. But here's the powerful truth. And this was Jesus telling us this story. Amen? Jesus told us which man went home justified. Jesus proclaimed the mercy of God on sinners. Now that's good stuff. Amen? Jesus is announcing in this passage that the tax collector on this occasion had more access to the grace of God that day than the Pharisee. Isn't that amazing? I mean, a tax collector was pretty much like you might think of a drug dealer today. Someone who's in a situation where there's not a lot of hope around, and he finds a way out by connecting himself to others, and he can abuse the situation that people are in and skim for himself. And he goes back to the neighborhood, not to help, but to take even more. And yet, this is the kind of man that finds mercy before the presence of God because he knows that he's blown it. God knows about the sin of the tax collector before he ever comes in. He hasn't forgotten this truth. But he has a hunch that this is true about everyone. I'm speaking of the tax collector here. So the tax collector humbles himself, and he puts his trust in the mercy and grace of God and finds all that he needs. Now, that's a beautiful picture to me. The good news is it was available for the Pharisee too. And if we have any doubts about that, all we have to do is mention what I mentioned earlier, the Apostle Paul. He was literally on the road to Damascus, ready to persecute Christians. He had already participated in violence against Christians. And in his heart, he says later, he was breathing out murderous threats against the church. And yet, God reached out to him. Amen? And we know Nicodemus came by night to Jesus and found grace. So there's hope not just for those who have flung themselves far, far, far from God and come back humbly, but also even for the self-righteous. There is hope if they will allow God to speak with authority anew and afresh in their lives and humble themselves. On the road to Damascus, a very bright light came. I think that light came because God knew that Paul was doing the best that he understood, but he was on the wrong path. So let there be no mistake. Paul, you are blind in this situation, and you need to humble yourself before me. And so the light shined so brightly that it changed his life forever. And that was the grace of God moving in to show him the error of his ways, and to set his feet back on a right path, where he had to go find an almost random person and have them pray for him before the scales could fall from his eyes. And in those moments, he could finally see, because he humbled himself and obeyed God's leading. So this was a good news that was there for everyone, and Jesus wants us to know it's even for the ones who seem the farthest away from God. But he also wants us to see that it's available even for those of us who may struggle in this area of pride. So Jesus calls us to live that mercy humbly. It's one thing to come to God and to ask God to forgive you of your sins. It's one thing to admit that you've been on a wrong path, that you need a new leader, that you're looking to Jesus. But the point of all of that wasn't just a one-time prayer so you could say you're good with God. The point of all of this was so that now the grace and mercy of God could flow through your life and out into the world, connect with what's going on in the lives of others, and build community and send out hope and love and see the kingdom of God advance in the world. Amen? And so Jesus is calling us to live in that same way that we first come to him, in humility, seeking righteousness, and living in love. Jesus wants us to live with the same kind of humility that the tax collector had learned, but even with the carefulness that the Pharisee had learned. Amen? Do you hear what I'm saying? No one is saying, be careless and throw it all away and then hope you can make it back in. That's not the point of Jesus' story. He's saying the grace is there for all. And what a shame for someone who knew so much truth up here to not be able to enjoy it and live it and share it with those around. He wants us to live in such a way that others can see that mercy on display. So what does that look like? I think one of the things it looks like is when we see people who look a little different, not looking them up and down and shaking our heads, right? Get out of that habit. Stand in front of a mirror if you have to and practice, but decide how you're going to respond when you see someone covered with tattoos or who looks completely different than you, right? Decide for yourself how you're going to respond to people who come from a different racial and cultural background. And say, is the mercy of God going to be on display when I'm talking to someone? Or are all my hang-ups and insecurities and things I don't know about going to be on display? And am I going to cover those with a spiritual pride, when really it's insecurity, I think, that's going on there? We're concerned about how vulnerable we might be. And so we put out a radar that says, I've got it all together, you can't hurt me. And we miss the opportunities to connect and to live the grace of God. When the tax collector had beat his breast and called on the mercy of God and went home justified, just think about the possibilities of his life. Think about all the people that he knew who needed God. Amen? Think of the network of relationships that he had. It could be incredible fruit for the kingdom that is probably still being passed down from generation to generation. And the Pharisee, knowing all that he did, having all the skills that he had, he was letting it be short-circuited, keeping it close to the vest, and therefore not living in and enjoying the peace of God. So this morning, I don't know where you would be on this scale. You know, God knows. Are you more like the Pharisee, or are you more like the tax collector in your station in life? But there's another question, and that is, are you more like the Pharisee, or are you more like the tax collector in terms of what you're doing about it? Amen? So this morning, all of us are vulnerable before God. None of us has a leg to stand on before the Holy One who made us all. All of us can come pleading the mercy of God expressed through the life and death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. But that's the only way that we can come before him. But through Jesus, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Amen? And we can be not only justified, but on the path of growing in grace, being sanctified, and bearing fruit in the world. But it starts and ends right here. Can we be humble? Can we be generous? Can we remember that we need the grace of God? So would you close your eyes this morning? Father, I believe everyone here loves you and wants the best that you have for them. And I think everyone here loves people, and so they showed up to be together, to seek you, and to encourage others. But Lord, I know that all of us are still on a journey, and none of us has arrived. And so would you help us this morning, Lord, to be just really honest and to allow your Spirit to speak into our lives. If we've allowed a certain pride to affect how we interact with the world, Lord, just allow us some grace in this moment to humble ourselves again and to ask for your mercy and ask for your forgiveness and restoration. Lord, forgive us where we have judged others and looked down on them instead of seeing the beauty of what you were doing in their lives. Help us, Lord, free us from missing the point of the journey. And may we see that it's not just a defeat that should make us feel terrible, but it's a wonderful victory in this moment as we confess and as we call on your mercy in these moments, Lord. We're calling on the strength that's going to feed us and carry us through for every day ahead. And so I pray that you'll encourage even those among us who might be like the Pharisee and help us to be the kind of person who's pressing in to know you more, but also reaching out to love more. And Father, this morning, if some of us have felt very much like the tax collector, very much on the outside, very much not deserving any of your grace, then in this moment, Lord, would you just reach out, and as we are confessing that to you now and asking for your forgiveness and even beating our chest in your presence and saying, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Without your grace, I have no hope. And Father, would you just restore in this moment. Forgive. And Lord, justify those who need it today. And I pray that you'll encourage us to believe that we are included in your family and we can begin to learn more and to grow in you. Would you let a path begin to open up before us, a path of following Jesus in his family. And let us, Lord, now move to be the kind of people who share good news wherever we go. With your eyes closed, if the Lord has spoken to you today, no matter where you are on the spectrum, and you've reached out for more of him in this moment, would you just raise your hand and acknowledge that today? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, it's beautiful to see so many hands, so many reaching out for your mercy and love. Oh, it's so wonderful. Let us taste and see how good you are, Lord. And may we love mercy, and may we share it with others. And may we learn to walk humbly with our God and look for how we can serve and help those who are far from you and who have been excluded in our world. And in that way, we'll be fulfilling a long call from your word all the way back to the Old Testament, that that's what you want most from us. Father, make us the kind of church who can be a blessing to other people, who can be a way in to the family of God, who can be an open door with our humble lives. And we pray this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Well, in the weeks that